Is your appetite sometimes out of control? Are you unable to stop eating even when you're full? Download our new Intelligent Medicine video, Defensive Eating, Taming Your Addiction to Food. There's a physiological basis for food addiction. The food industry has gripped our brains using powerful food science. Find out what we can do about it. Go to drhoffman.com to download this important video. We will arm you with proven strategies to change your eating behavior forever. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin. I'm the nutritionist at the Hoffman Center, and my podcast is called Layla Weighs In. Every Friday, or once a week, I'll be weighing in on a particular subject, or on a particular question, or anything else that I deem appropriate to talk about concerning nutrition, health, wellness, or something that's keeping me up at night, a particular topic. Maybe there's a topic keeping you up at night or something that you're concerned about or have questions about relating to nutrition. If you do, please email your question to radioprogram@AOL.com. Last week I was talking briefly about leaky gut syndrome. Is it real? Is it not? Yes, it is. And you know, this summer, we're just coming off the heels of the Mental Wellness Summit that I got to see on webinar. Isn't technology great? We don't have to travel to the conference anymore. We could watch a webinar. I got to watch the Mental Wellness Summit, and I noticed that mental wellness or mental health and care of mental health is becoming a bigger and bigger topic in integrative medicine and nutrition. And this reminded me, actually, of a lecture that we did here at the Hoffman Center about food and mood, nutrition and mood. And it really begged my going over that presentation and telling you some of the salient points and some of the new things that we have learned about mental wellness. I'm talking specifically about mood disorders. I'm talking specifically about anxiety and depression. So let me start with a few statistics. Mood disorders affect about 21 million Americans age 18 and over. Mood disorders would include a major depressive order, bipolar disorder, anxiety, and now anxiety actually affects about 40 million Americans. An anxiety disorder, under this umbrella of anxiety disorders, we have panic disorder. We have OCD, which is obsessive compulsive disorder. We have post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, generalized anxiety disorder. I guess that's the diagnosis of exclusion if you don't fall under one of the other anxiety disorders, is a generalized anxiety disorder, and phobias. And anxiety disorders, they often co-occur with depressive disorders as well as substance abuse. Now, here is the physiological basis of anxiety or even depression. First of all, anxiety can be caused, first of all, we feel it, it's not just preceding with a thought or beginning with a thought. We feel it physiologically. We feel ourselves panicking. We may feel clammy, nervous, lightheaded, any of these things. But these symptoms may also have a physiological root, meaning blood sugar may play a role, your adrenal status may play a role, the health of your microbiome may play a role, and that has everything to do with what I was talking about last week, the leaky gut syndrome. As a matter of fact, let me talk about gut first. I'm quoting from the Wall Street Journal actually several years ago, but it's still relevant, it's still pertinent today. They say, what you think is going on in your head may be caused in part by what's happening in your gut. New research indicates problems in the gut may cause problems in the brain, just as a mental ailment, such as anxiety, can upset the stomach. Now think about that. Do you ever get a gut feeling about something? Do you ever notice that when you sense danger, you feel it in your gut first? When you have any bad news, you feel it in your gut first? It's almost like a sensation of being kicked in the stomach. Well, guess what? There is the gut brain, and there is the body's other mind. If you look at the website Integrative Psychiatry, they talk about the body's other mind. They talk about this enteric nervous system or the gut brain. And that, this gut brain, can operate independently of the brains in our head. And neurons in the gut produce neurotransmitters also found in the brain, such as serotonin. For example, did you know that serotonin, and most people know serotonin is the neurotransmitter that makes us feel happy and confident and everything is right with the world and, you know, just very kind of even-keeled. 90% of the serotonin made in our bodies is made in the gut. That's surprising, right? But this is the gut brain that we're talking about. And with respect to the microbiome, we know that disruptions to the beneficial gut bacteria, that healthy microbiome that we're all supposed to have, can affect your mood. Now, this reminds me briefly of an article I read in the magazine Psychology Today some years ago about depressive disorders and the use of antidepressants. And I remember a subtitle in that particular article, although I don't remember the article itself, but the subtitle said, "Is kimchi the new Prozac?" And actually, I thought that was profound at the time reading it, because kimchi is a probiotic food. It introduces beneficial bacteria in the gut. So does fermented sauerkraut. So does lactic acid fermented pickle, or pickled vegetables, not just cucumbers. So there are probiotic foods, kefir, yogurt, these fermented vegetables that I'm telling you about, that can introduce healthy microbiota into the gut. And this is just what our moods may need. In addition to that, we also happen to know that particular strains of bifidobacterium, not just lactobacillus species, but the bifidobacteria species, can help us with mood. Now, coming back to, let's see here, gut health is also linked to learning and memory, depression, anxiety, and much, much more. But did you know that the gut-brain axis is also linked to the irritable bowel syndrome? Now, irritable bowel syndrome, or IBS, is also a bit, I think, of a diagnosis of exclusion, because it's when you don't have anything else. You don't have Crohn's, you don't have ulcerative colitis, you don't have any kind of inflammatory bowel disease. You may have SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. You may have an overgrowth of candida, right? But that irritable bowel is also impacted by the lack of healthy microbiome and the lack of serotonin. People with irritable bowel syndrome having constipation more than diarrhea, or could normally IBS is alternating constipation and diarrhea. It has to do also with the secretion of serotonin, because serotonin is linked with normal GI functioning. And the gut serotonin increases peristalsis. Peristalsis is the movement of the nutrient matter, everything we ate and digested and absorbed through the gut, through the small intestine, through the large bowel, and so forth. So what goes on in the gut can have a direct impact on the brain. Another term, a phrase comes to mind. You know, you've had butterflies in your stomach. We're feeling it, our anxiety there. So it's not completely off base to say gut feeling or butterflies in your stomach. Now, neurotransmitters are the emotion generators. And as long as we have a healthy digestive system and we have beneficial organisms that are in charge, the gut actually can function very effectively and sends positive feedback back into the brain. This is very important, because when we get enough serotonin, and I'm only talking one of many neurotransmitters secreted, but particularly in the gut. When serotonin is high, we are positive, we're easygoing, we're flexible, we're confident, we're enthusiastic. But when our serotonin is low, we're worried, we're irritable, we don't sleep well, we're obsessed, we're negative, we're even pessimistic. Now, sleeplessness, did you know that serotonin is the neurotransmitter that goes on to become melatonin when it's processing properly between our neurons? So when we're low in serotonin, we're going to be sleepless because we don't have enough serotonin to make melatonin. So what can cause this unhealthy digestive system? Bad bacteria in the gut, as we talked about, candida, yeast. Eating foods that we're allergic to will also cause this. And toxins in food, undigested food particles. These can precipitate a series of neurological and immune system responses that will interfere with a healthy brain function and can disrupt that very delicate communication between the brain and our bodies. So when our gut is inflamed, when we have inflammation in the gut, we also can have inflammation in the brain. So think about what imbalances the gut. A poor diet is probably the biggest contributor, along with food allergens, okay? Medications, antibiotics, steroids, acid blockers can also imbalance the gut, therefore causing a change in our mood because of lack of serotonin and lack of other neurotransmitters. So what happens then? This gut-brain balance is thrown into a bit of a chaos. And neurotransmitters can send faulty messages, causing a multitude of health problems. You know, practitioners say, at least the ones in the know, that healthy living, you know, all health begins in the gut, yes, but it's for more reasons than we know. When we have a healthy microbiota, that can really determine a lot of things. And when we don't have a healthy microbiome, we often see the mood is impacted first. Just a few other things I want to say here about this axis between the gut and the brain. And I'm quoting Andrew Campbell here from the latest issue of Integrative Medicine from August of this summer. The axis between the brain and the gut modulates our emotions, our desires, and our moods. It is actually a part of who we are. And it's the gut that modulates it more. So we really need to take care of our gut. The bifidobacterium species that I talked about earlier, it actually helps to produce GABA. It's gamma-aminobutyric acid. GABA is the neurotransmitter that we produce naturally that is most like Valium or morphine. It's the neurotransmitter GABA that helps us to chill out, that helps us to calm down when we're too excited. It's the principal inhibitory neurotransmitter in the central nervous system. In addition, the lactobacillus species, beneficial bacteria, makes acetylcholine. And some other bacilli related to lactobacilli can make dopamine. We need dopamine, right? That's our reward system. When we have enough dopamine, we're enthusiastic, we're eager, we're happy, we're joyful. So dopamine, along with serotonin, is another very important neurotransmitter. Now, getting back to anxiety and mood disorders and this very interesting mental wellness summit that I got to watch and learn from, which was wonderful. They had some wonderful practitioners on. But the one that I found most memorable is a nutritionist in Australia. Her name is Trudy Scott. She talked a lot about the physiological basis for anxiety and the types of anxiety and how certain very simple nutrients can really help somebody with anxiety. B6, one of the B vitamins, is one of the principal ones. I like actually to use the metabolite of B6 called P5P. Very helpful for boosting serotonin as well as dopamine. Zinc, a 30 milligram zinc dosage daily, and it may vary per individual, so these dosages are quite individual. That's why I don't want to speak too much about dosages here. Zinc is helpful. Evening primrose oil or borage oil is also very, very helpful. I want to talk to you briefly about anti-anxiety. You know, medications have a lot of side effects. And one of the problems with anti-anxiety medications is that they are very, very addictive. And what are you going to do about that? Once you're on them, it could be very, very hard to stop. Also, the antidepressants, your Prozac, Paxil, Effexor, Zoloft, Celexa, Cymbalta, to name a few. Some of the side effects of antidepressants, did you know the first one is anxiety? The second one is irritability? If you're finding yourself, here's my question to you, if you're finding yourself anxious and you never were before, but you're a user of antidepressant medication, you know they're only meant to be used short term, not for years and years. Check with your doctor first to see if maybe you're feeling a side effect of the antidepressant that you're on, because anxiety is one of them. You want to check that out. So, beyond that, beyond getting off medication, which is the best thing, a healthy diet, certain supplements such as tryptophan or even 5-HTP, tryptophan turns to 5-HTP, which then boosts or becomes serotonin. And this helps with the rapid firing of neurotransmitters along with fish oil, but boosting that serotonin so it can work well, so it can travel, it could be the chemical messenger that it is between neurons, is the way it's supposed to function. When we're using antidepressant medication, that serotonin is kind of put in the synapse, it's kind of left there in the synapse between two neurons, two nerve cells. This is why it's called selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. It's not uptaked again by the next neuron. It's hanging out in that alley that we call the synapse, and it's giving our brains a false perception that there's plenty of serotonin here, everything is fine. But because that serotonin does not go on to become melatonin, we are often left sleepless and possibly irritable. I want to come back to anxiety for a minute. There are a lot of other roles, other things that can cause anxiety. And one of the things, actually, we just talked about with Dr. Hoffman, and we've talked about often on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, is mitral valve prolapse. Having mitral valve prolapse, which is congenital, we're born with it, it's not necessarily a condition or anything, but having mitral valve prolapse can cause anxiety. How? It messes with our sympathetic nervous system, and it uses up a lot of magnesium, our nervous system. And when we're low in magnesium, we're anxious. When we're quite low in magnesium, we can even become phobic. Imagine that. So anybody with mitral valve prolapse, it's in your best interest to take a magnesium supplement, a very bioavailable magnesium, such as magnesium malate or the Jigsaw brand of magnesium, which is one of my favorites, or even magnesium taurate, which is particularly targeted to the heart and to blood pressure. So if you're anxious and you know that you have mitral valve prolapse, you may need additional magnesium. But in addition to that, another thing that triggers symptoms in those with mitral valve prolapse is unstable blood sugar. Anytime I'm sitting with a patient or client who has MVP, we talk about not just the necessity of magnesium, of fish oil, and other nutrients, but magnesium being a primary one. We talk about stabilizing blood sugar, because when we have unstable blood sugar or low blood sugar, that could send us off into an anxiety attack, a panic attack. But those with MVP are particularly low, are particularly prone because they're already low in magnesium. So blood sugar has a very, very important role in the physiological aspect of anxiety, as does mitral valve prolapse. Adrenal function, if you've got a lot of cortisol coursing through your veins, you're being mugged by your fight or flight hormones. This can also cause anxiety. Also the use of stimulants. I'm talking about the basic one people use every day, caffeine, in their coffee or their tea. So if you're online at Starbucks three times a day and you wonder why you're feeling anxious, I would say to you, if you were my client, the caffeine is the first thing to go. And then let's see, does your anxiety subside? So, I learned a lot during this Mental Wellness Summit. I hope that I was able to provide you with some information here today. I'm going to talk more next week about the food and mood solutions or the physiological basis for why we feel the way we do, because there was a lot more information here. And I'll be talking about other things as well. So thank you for listening to Layla Weighs In on this Intelligent Medicine podcast. I will talk to you next week. Take care and be well.